Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? Yeah, it's gray and rainy, but it's good in here. It's warm, it's dry. Let's start with 317, please, and let's stand. 317. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord, you give us the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to worship you. Thanks for the bunch of folks that come out today, Lord. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know its problems. We pray for our nation, Lord, that it might turn to you. Help us, Lord, to see that our nation needs revival. Help us, Lord, to see that revival starts within us, Lord, each individual in this room today. Help us, Lord, if it does, that it'd spread like fire, Lord. That we'd see your name glorified throughout. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Just sang this song, Lord, you're there always. Help us to remember, Lord, that we can't do it by ourselves, Lord. We need you. Help us, Lord, to give you all them troubles and just take them from us, Lord. Be with our pastor today, Lord, as he speaks, guide and direct. I just pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit would work with him today, work with the message you've laid in his heart, that it might speak to each and every person here today, Lord, in some way. Just thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The second song was done late, so we're just going to be in your books. So 434, please. 434.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Verse 3, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sing the last. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Thank you. Tonight's our evening service at 6. What should you expect from your pastor? Make sure you come out for that. Pretty good stuff. Communion on the 4th, that'd be next Sunday. Agenda items for the quarterly meeting is due on the 7th. And our meeting is due December 11th. Let's see. Personal evangelism is the 29th. Wilton Bible Study on December the 8th. Iron Sharpens Iron, December 3rd and the 17th. Personal evangelism again, December 13th. And then women's Bible study tomorrow, Monday evening, the 28th, at 6 o'clock in the evening. And we got Carolyn scheduled for the 13th at Premier Estates at 5. And then again at Lutheran Homes at 5:45. Pastor's thought for the week, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we do got enough ushers today? Great. Let's take up the morning offering, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Especially getting us here today, Lord, just to get a little more of Your word today, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for just being there. Some of these songs, Lord, keeping us singing, Lord. You're always there in our troubles, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember that we just can't do it without You, Lord. Help us to quit fighting it, Lord, just to give in, submit to You, Lord, and let You be our God. Thank You for this time today, Lord. Be the gift and giver now, Lord. You take up this offering. Just ask You to be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, Gene's coming up now.
Good morning. Good morning. That was about a month. My walk up to here seemed like I got a couple of pieces I like to play on the harmonica today, and bear with me as I get to it, and just to bless your heart.
Peter on a cloudy day, Gene. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Good morning, everyone. I trust that is the case with you. While the weather today may be a bit gloomy outside, I trust that the light of the Lord is in your hearts this day and that you're warmly fed by its glow and reflecting His light to a world around you today. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church and to morning worship. It's a delight to be here today with fellow believers, encouraging one another, and exploring God's Word together as we fellowship around His throne on this side of eternity. I want to let you know today that we're glad for everyone that's here, and especially glad for anyone that's visiting with us. The Lord delivered my prayers this morning that I'd see my junior, senior high Sunday school class multiplied by about 7 or 8 times. And He delivered on that. But Judy, we're glad to have your family here. Trust you've had a great time rejoicing and celebrating Thanksgiving. Hopefully all of us have had that experience and been able to be refreshed and to have our minds renovated by the thought of Thanksgiving and how God is so good to us. And we trust that that is something that is on our hearts today, that we are of a light heart today, enjoying our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a little different sermon or message than what we might normally hear. It revolves around Sunday school, and the title of the message is There Salvation for Sunday School? So we'll explore that topic today, and education in general, and see what God's Word has to say about that and some thoughts on that. We'll also hear from our Sunday school superintendent for a brief amount of time during this message with some of his thoughts and visions about what should be done and what can be done here at Fruitland Baptist Church. So we want you to always know this. Whenever the doors are open here, you're always welcome. And even when they're not, find one that's unlocked and come in. It means someone will be here. So I'm interested to visit with you, and there are others here, again, that are interested in people for Jesus' sake. And so we're glad to gather together this morning. This morning's message is a little bit different than many of the normal ones that really revolve around worship, but I still think we're here today for a worship service. We're here for a time to bow our hearts before the Lord. So before I do a pastoral prayer today, let's just take a few moments of silence as we adjust our heart attitudes towards the Lord Jesus Christ and the immensity and the wonderfulness of Jesus as God and what God has offered and how He interacts with mankind as we come again today to explore His institution of the church and how we react to that and what, again, it is established for. And so I ask today that we just take a moment. I'll come along then with a short prayer before we go into our message. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come before Your presence today. I pray today, Lord, that everyone in this room has joy in their heart and a heart of enthusiasm and love towards You for what You are and what You've done in the love that You have for mankind. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You gave it all for us. We know that the source and basis of all things have come from Your mighty hand. And so we acknowledge that today. We are but dust before You, Lord, and yet You have seen us as more important than just mere dust. You have seen us as living souls. You created us this way, that we're created and designed for fellowship with You. And so now, Lord, we thank You that fellowship with You can be obtained through fellowship through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His work on our behalf on the cross. And when we receive that by faith, we are adopted into Your family, that we might have fellowship throughout all eternity with You and a close walk, Lord, even in these days before we enter into the eternal state. So I thank You today for that gift of salvation. Lord, I thank You for the many gifts that have been presented here today in just the lives of people. Life truly is a gift, and every day is a gift from You, Lord. I can't believe it as I stand up here this morning that this is November 27th, of the year of our Lord, 2022, and how rapidly time passes, Lord. So we know this, that for those of us that have been born again through the blood of the Lamb, We have a very exciting future to look forward to. And we thank you for that, Lord. May none of us be discouraged today, even though we know, Lord, that the human experience contains many emotional and realistic and physical things that may cause us to have hindrances, and, Lord, to see our adversary and your adversary, Satan, needle those in our lives, Lord. But help us to give thanks and rejoice this day for what you have done. Now, Lord, as always, we know this is a holiday weekend. Many people are traveling. And yet, Lord, we know that within our own group here, we have different and various things that affect the lives of people. Some are ill today, Lord. Some may be discouraged today. Some may be depressed. Others may be angry about different issues. All the different things, Lord, that come before the scope of humanity. Lord, there might have even been a fight in a home today about going to church or resistance that Satan had, and people yielded. But Lord, I pray yet that you'll keep our candle burning brightly. And we do pray for this community known as Fruitland and all the other extended areas that we reach, Lord, that we would be, again, a source of truth and a source of joy and love here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Now, Lord, as we look into a topic today, the topic of Sunday school, it really goes much deeper than that, than a program. But it comes down to this, Lord, how do we approach you and how do we desire to grow in you through knowledge and knowledge that is applied. And I pray today this will be a day of soul searching, Lord, for all of us, not only if there's a spiritual need for salvation among someone here, but Lord, to really examine our hearts and see if we are on a growth trajectory and if we value the knowledge that is contained in your word, which is the fundamental basis of all things and how you operate. So, Lord, I pray this would be a day like none other where the Spirit would have an active course here, free course among the people. And, Lord, that you would even help me in these areas because I struggle. I'm no different than anyone else here. Lord, I just pray today that you would use me effectively to illustrate a few things today to think about. And we'll give you thanks in advance. I'm the weak link in this chain, Lord, but I thank you for the responsibility you've given me to deliver these thoughts this day. And we'll ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, may I be bold enough. In other words, I need to be that way from the pulpit. I need to ask serious questions about life, spiritual issues, and about what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do in the day that we live. But I am going to be bold enough this morning to ask us about our attitudes, about our need for additional knowledge and how you pursue it, and to what value and priority you attach to it. All of us have a value system and a priority system. Whether you would admit that this morning, it's true. As we sieve through all the things of life, we put priorities and values, and we many times line those up wrongly because we base them on humanistic thinking rather than on the thinking of God and the spiritual side of things. For many, you have already thought, that depends. Am I accurate on this? That depends on what I have to do to receive it and how it will be to my benefit. Okay? Before I commit to the time and the energy it requires to pursue it. It's all about me. How it benefits me. You've already given that some consideration this morning. Yeah, extra knowledge is good, but what do I have to do to receive it? What's it going to cost me? And this is a valid process which involves secular education, but my friends, it does not hold up to spiritual mandates. Correct? The mandates that we find in Scripture and for our growth in Christ. My friends, salvation is enough to get you into heaven, but you're going to miss the good stuff if you don't know what God has to say. And if you're not involved in a close personal walk with Him. Salvation was never intended for fire insurance, although that may be the case for some, and praise God it is available today. But salvation is more than that. It's a walk with Jesus hand in hand through this thing called life. We're going to find here in just a few minutes why it's more important. It's very important to be saved at whatever part of life you're in, but it's very much more important to be saved at a younger age. And there are some reasons for that, because as you look at me here this morning, and I've told you before, I'm somewhat hard-headed. The older that you get, the less you want to learn about the things of God. You see if that isn't a true premise in many lives. Not in every case, but in many. When you're young, that's the time to get started on the right track, because you miss out all that potential if we don't get started early. So there is a spiritual mandate for growth in Christ. And what we know at Fruitland Baptist Church for the past 150 years in America, that there was something that's been a part of the church life for much of that time, and it's called Sunday School. Now, what's the hard part about that name? School. You know, for most of my life, I did not like going to school. But now I would love to be in school. I would love to sit under teaching and absorb and learn more things. Why did I not like school? Why do you not like school? Lonnie said the key to a lot of it. I don't need it because I already know what I need to know. Is there some credence to that? None of us probably were big fans of school in our day. But anyway, we know that there's been something called Sunday School floating around for over 150 years, maybe not quite that far in this country. But folks, it bears our consideration now and for the future in all of our lives. What will you do with Sunday School? Just like Jesus, you're either for it or you're against it. If you're lukewarm towards it, you're really what? Yeah, you're saying it has little value in my life. About a generation ago, Sunday School was labeled the Sunday morning dinosaur. What do we know about the dinosaurs? There's lots of thoughts on that. Personally, I think they were knocked out in the flood. Okay, but here's or because of the results of that, the change in the environment. But what do we know about a dinosaur? Today they are technically extinct. And that's why it's called the Sunday morning dinosaur, because in many cases, not all, Sunday school has become extinct. We'll explore some of those reasons here this morning. But it is not the case in every situation. And I want you to listen this morning as I illustrate some of that. It has been the case in some instances, but not in every situation. But friends, here's what I want you to hear about as I talk about the Sunday morning dinosaur, it is endangered in many places. And one of those places is Fruitland Baptist Church. So my question this morning that we're going to explore, is there salvation for Sunday school in our day and situation? And so we'll look at that, but I want to tell you right now, I believe there is, if we want it. If we want it. By the way, salvation means deliverance. And so what we're talking about here, will Sunday school become once again valuable at Fruitland Baptist Church and in other places? The value will be shown by your participation and mine. All right, so here we go. The history of Sunday school, real quickly. Originally, I want you to know, it was never a function of a local church. It was an outside influence of believers to reach people, not connected to the local church. It had its beginnings over in England, and there's two primary names that you could look up on this, but a guy named William King and another guy named Robert Raikes. And this was in the 18th century, which would have been the what? The 1700s. So it goes back a little further than here in America. Here in America, there's a couple of real primary names that pop up whenever you think about Sunday school. A guy named Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher in Boston. Does anyone know this story? A famous evangelist that ended up in Chicago by the name of Dwight Lyman Moody was a shoe salesman in Boston. And in 1853, as a young man, he came under the influence of this Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball was bold enough, again, to go right into the shoe store where Moody worked and confront him about the gospel. He'd been working with him. Moody had been attending Sunday school. But on this day, April 21st of 1855, D.L. Moody was saved in the shoe store. by the efforts of a Sunday school teacher. You see, the thing about Sunday school, it's personal. And I don't know, we have some of the teachers here. By the way, we're short on teachers here at Fruitland Baptist Church. But Sunday school isn't about showing up on a Sunday morning in totality. It's a whole influence on people that you have as students. And teachers do hold an important role. They need to take a personal interest in their students. Had it not been for Edward Kimball, D.L. Moody might not have been saved. But God's plan was for him to intervene and to take an interest in the life of his student that came to Sunday school. Well, let me just say, the foundation of Sunday school was not only for theological education, but D.L. Moody never had beyond a fifth grade education. Now, we think about that today, and a lot of that is poo-pooed, but you know why people in those days that mostly came from lower classes didn't have an education? Because they had to go to work. They were in factories. There was no social network at all to help people in those days. Young children went to work in places to support their mothers, their brothers and sisters, their family members, because that was how it had to be done. And let me just tell you this, folks. There was class distinction in America in those days. You think it's something now, it's not. In those days, those people that were not had not been able to be educated were held down into a caste system, so to speak. And by God's grace, a few were able to be delivered out of that. Folks, today we have education en masse that we can touch, even about the Lord, but most people today think nothing of it. At least in the Lord's side of things. Sunday school began as a time for education, not only in theology and in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was for working children that were poor and uneducated because there was nothing else there for them. A few people had a heart to reach people, and they knew that, you know, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to have a harder time coming to know the God of the Bible if you cannot read, if you cannot comprehend what is said in Scripture. Now, we know it's an act of the Spirit. He saves people. You don't have to have a PhD in literature to understand the Bible and the basic tenets of the Bible. But, folks, we have to understand there was abject poverty and illiteracy that ran rampant, both in England and in America, in the lower class people, the working class people. By the way, Fruitland Baptist is nominally a working class church. Aren't you thankful today? Did anyone give thanks to God Thursday or any other day for your mental faculties, for the history that you've had, again, in teaching from the Bible? Oh, my friends, we are so blessed and so remiss about what we've been given. Anyway, Moody only had a fifth grade education. There was heavy discrimination against the illiterate class in these times. By the way, that's where people, where Satan wants you today is to be illiterate involving the Word of God. And let me tell you, we are approaching those same kind of times in our modern world today in the United States of America, because as I've seen some of the polls and what I see in my own perspective that I meet with people, we are living amongst the most biblically illiterate generation, maybe since that day. Do you believe that, friends in Christ? I believe we are. You know, one time Abe Lincoln visited Moody's Sunday School on a trip through Chicago. And he was encouraged by it. And he said, you know, the youth that may come through these Sunday schools could very likely be the president someday because of what was done for them in the teaching of God's Word in a thing called Sunday school. There was great value. A couple of major premises right now I want to throw at you. This is one of them. Education must begin at a young age. The older people get, the less they want to learn. I already kind of danced around that, but it's a fact. For most, you become set in your ways, and you don't want to go on and learn anything new and try to change. So it's very important, again, that salvation is taught to children at a young age. By the way, Sunday school isn't the place to send your kids to learn about Jesus. It's a supplement. Morning worship is not a place to send your kids to learn about Jesus. It's a supplement. Where you learn about Jesus is in your home with your children as you walk through life. I'm amazed that people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, would you talk to someone about the Lord, when they've known Him their whole life and didn't do it? Christians, what's the matter? You know what's the matter. It's pride. Pride is the basis of all sin. Get real, people. If you love Jesus, talk to people. Talk to your kids. Talk to those you encounter. Here's the next premise. When there was little education available to people and they realized their need for it, they were glad to get it. I didn't see a lot of joy today in the empty seats and places we saw in our Sunday school program. Praise God, we had some new visitors today besides Judy's family, because someone went out and invited them. We are not thankful and joyful about what we have. Maybe the people that came here were, but it's shown by those that did not, that they're not concerned about it. They're not thankful. It's not a priority. And as I said, have you with joy thanked the Lord for the potential for education? Now we're coming up on Doug here in a little bit, but sit quiet for a minute yet, Doug. I'll get you a little heads up warning. So here's the second point today as you listen to this message. Why do current day people not value education? I'm going to give you some of the reasons that I believe about this and also what the Bible says. And here's the real reason. Number one, they see no value in it. I don't care if it's the secular education in the schools, homeschooling, whatever you go to, or the education that comes from Sunday school or the teaching in the church. Most people see no value in it. Ask me why. Well, in general, in the secular sense in particular, they know this, that socialism will feed and clothe you and more. Did you remember what I said back in the 17th century? Little kids were going to work in the factory because they didn't have anything to eat. Today, people know this. You can be a total loser and they'll still feed you. And that's what's a shame about our programs today and the condition the United States is in. It's a socialist nation. And the other thing, too, as I mentioned that, is that God has been devalued. This is from the theological side of this, but it involves the secular. God has been devalued and pushed out of people's lives. He's been replaced by materialism and false deities on the spiritual side of things. And that's the other reason people are not excited about education, especially the things of God, because He's not important to them. Most people don't even know who God is. They don't know the stories that many of us have grown up with. They, by the way, they are not stories. They are biblical, factual accounts of what's taken place in history. Junior, senior hires this morning are visitors from Missouri. What did we learn about this morning in Daniel chapter 7? God's told us all these things. We need to what? Pay attention, because He's shown the whole program of what's going to take place that revolves around mankind. God is the center of all things. And if you lose that basis of where we come from and how things operate, no, we don't know every jot and tittle how He's going to unwind the age. But folks, there's many good conclusive things that are told to us in the Scriptures that He is going to unwind the age, and He shows how He will do it. We have to understand that every day is critical in God's program. Today is critical for things in God's program. Critical for things that we may need to learn or to be enlightened upon through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word, so that we don't go fumbling blindly in darkness living our lives. Oh, I don't know what's coming on. Well, you can have some good ideas about the things that are going on and why things are the way they are today if you look at the book. The other one here, among several, it takes effort. And people today are lazy. I truly believe this, that for some, if someone, your wife or your mother would pick up a spoon and feed you, or your husband, you'd let them do it. Why? Because it takes effort. Isn't there an old saying, never put off? Well, there is an old saying, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. What's the other side of that? Never do today what you can put off. Here's another one, folks. Education causes people to be confronted in their blissful ignorance. There's this prevailing thought today that says, the less I know, the less I'm responsible for. That's fool's talk. You're still on the hot seat. I'm on the hot seat for the things we don't know because we should know. But that's the way people think today. Amen? It causes people to be confronted about their blissful ignorance. The Bible will hit you straight on. It will tell you the truth. It's like a mirror. It exposes who we are. By the way, people don't like coming to Sunday school and things like that because they might be called on. They might be asked to have an opinion about something. They might have to do something. And they say, I want no part of it. I'll go to morning worship and I'll listen to the preaching as long as he doesn't what? Make me do anything. Well, I don't have the power to do that at all. But you know what? They're not afraid of me or a Sunday. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit getting a hold of their heart. We'll keep away from him. We'll keep him at arm's length because we're not going to get involved. Yeah, I've heard all this stuff before. Well, the other thing is just plain out rebellion, because true instruction is based on the giver of knowledge, who is God. Proverbs 1:7, you saw it in my thought for the week. The fear of the Lord, the respect of the God of the Bible, the primary knowledge of who he is should cause us to what? Run to him for more knowledge. It should make us thirsty. Folks, we're in the midst of a drought, but no one's thirsty. Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord, when you come to understand who God is, the next step is, I want to know more about him. I better know more about him because this is important. But here's what he says, the writer of the Proverbs here, Solomon, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can have multiple PhDs and all kinds of degrees. By the way, all that stuff, there's a place for it. But the bottom line is, it's God's stuff you better know first. Because what he says here, all the rest of it is built upon it. Mathematics came right from God. You go teach mathematics, science comes from God. At least the stuff that lines up with him. Evolution doesn't line up with God. It does not come from God. It comes from Satan. But what do our institutions teach today nominally? The lie of evolution. Folks, it's all connected back to God. It's the beginning of knowledge. But read the rest of this. But what? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And by the way, friends, that's the wisdom of God. By the way, you could get saved in a math class if it was taught correctly. Because I don't care what anyone wants to say, God's designed the world in a creative and orderly fashion. And math brings glory to God. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. 2 plus 2 will never equal 5. Because God has ordained all these things. If you go into a math class in school and you look at it from God's perspective, from the spiritual perspective, you'll see God in all these things. But when you go to school and say, it can be anything it wants to, then you violated God and his creative order and the way that he has designed things. God's morality will never go out of style. Never. It's not going to change. You might change, but God never will. Enough said. Spiritual education is not perceived as valuable or able to enrich economically. That's why a lot of people don't want anything to do with it. You went to Bible college and seminary. You have a degree in theology. Well, that's one of the most underpaid and least respected career paths that you can be on. Let me tell you something. God's work is not a career. Did you hear me? I am not up here before you today as a career. I am here before you today by God's grace because He called me to do it. I wouldn't put up with some of the stuff that goes on if this was a secular institution. I do know how to open a door. God's service is a noble cause for people with the right heart. But spiritual education is often perceived as valueless. All I can do is shake my head. The educational environment can be threatening, like I said, for any education, but it's especially more threatening. People will go into a classroom at a university or other places, and they'll go to that, even though they don't know what they're doing, but they won't come into the environment of the teaching, whether it be in the home, in the local church, Sunday school, whatever the case may be. Folks, if you see value in it, you'll come. And you'll be participating in it. And learning. By the way, you don't always have to talk to learn. Although questions are good. That's how we learn. But sometimes, listen. Listen. Now the third point. Doug, you're coming on after this point, so get fired up. What Sunday school is and what Sunday school is not. Number one, it is biblical education. Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Bible, the acronym. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Years ago, I've told this story. Kay, you'll flag me on this again. I've been here long enough, some things get repeated. We bought a new dryer fan for a bin. All of you know what that is. Had a burner in it and so forth. Blows hot air up into the corn bin to dry the bin. At the end of the troubleshooting instructions in that manual for that, it said, honestly, have you read the instructions? You know how, and that usually, you know, applies to the male species. I know how that's, hook everything up. Don't read the instructions, and it doesn't work. So when it doesn't work, you go to the troubleshooting part of the manual. Right? Because you never looked at the manual. And it says right in that manual, I wish I'd have kept that old manual. Honestly now, have you read the instructions? Could I ask that question of all of us here today? Have you read the instructions? Basic information before leaving Earth. Or basic instructions, you can put whatever you want in there to make it fit. It's the Bible. It's God's book. Sunday school is Bible education. It is not necessarily worship. Did you hear me on that? It is not necessarily prayer meeting. It is not necessarily always under the auspices of the local church. Sunday school or the concepts of it can be done in things like backyard Bible clubs. It can be done with your neighbor kids that live next door. It can be done with your kids and grandkids. It can be done in the schools. Oh, it can't either, Pastor. Well, yes, it can. The last I knew, the taxpayers still pay for the buildings. And you can meet there after school. You cannot indoctrinate anyone about things, but you can offer it. You can go down here to the park and have a kids' club for kids. You can do a lot of things if people want to do it. You can have adult Bible studies. We've had a lot of those in the past in the communities around here, but folks, a lot of things intervene. But you know what? Every one of us in here can be out in the field giving out and helping people understand the basic instructions before leaving Earth. In many cases, it is evangelistic. That's the focus, isn't it? We don't just go to fill people's heads with knowledge. We go there with the idea that people, when they receive the knowledge, might be saved. So it's a cooperative effort with the Holy Spirit, right? Because we don't get people saved. The Holy Spirit does through the Word. Don't get too big on yourself. It's His responsibility to work in the heart. You can bring the Word. So it can be evangelistic in many cases. And it should promote a connection to Christ and growth. We're going to look at some scripture here quickly. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the connection. We're all sinners. Jesus Christ loves us. God demonstrated that love through Him. That's the message, the primary message of education. It's not to know the dates and the times and all that. It's to know Jesus. The rest of it comes along, but the primary thing is to know the love of Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. We got to go because Doug's got time here. He needs to have what he has to say to say. 2 Peter 3:18, toward the end of the chapter. It is the end of the chapter. Notice here, this is what the Apostle Peter gave the instructions to the believers. He says, but what? Stagnate. Resist everything you can to grow in Christ. Don't get involved in anything. Don't listen to anything that God's Word has. But he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Folks, a growing Christian is a glowing Christian. It shows the glory of God. We got to hustle. 2 Corinthians 2:6 through 7. I just want to give you a few of these. 2 Corinthians 2:6 through 7. I want to be sure you get your money's worth today. 2 Corinthians 2:6 through 7 says the following. I got to check myself here. Wait a minute. I didn't see that right. Colossians 2:6-7. Please forgive me. That's also taught in the Bible. Colossians 2:6-7. Colossians 2:6-7. I hope I'm right here. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with. There has to be teachers. And if there are teachers, there needs to be learners. Learners. Hebrews 5:12-14. Hebrews 5:12-14. Here again, James is confronting the people there in the early church in Jerusalem about the same stuff we see today. I'll back up to 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. It's not just me that has a hearing problem. It's people in general. Kim would say it's when she talks to me, but I'm going to say in general, we don't want to hear what God has to say. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. How many of you are going home today and have baby food for lunch? If I had to look at that, I might lose my lunch. But isn't there an element of truth that that's about what it's like for most people? We want the easy stuff. We'll take the baby food. We don't want to get into the meat, you know. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Folks, take a bite of meat and chew on it. Psalm 1:1. I'll hurry. Doug, you're next here. Very soon. Psalm 1:1. Whoops. By the way, I did get some new glasses coming. I expect my vision to improve soon. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How are you going to know where to walk? How are you going to know how to be blessed? Right there it answers it in the first phrase of that verse. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God's word. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you from the wrong things in life. Yes. Amen. I got to hit on this, and then it's Doug. I'm going to skip some things here, but write down 1 Peter 2:2. You can look at that sometime. But go to Acts 19:8 through 10. Acts 19:8 through 10. We're talking about a man named Paul. Acts 19:8 through 10. He's going to talk to us here about education. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, was he a fool? He was an educated fool before he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He was a Hebrew's Hebrew, taught in the best of schools. He knew Judaism, but he was illiterate in the things of Christ. He got a crash course on the road to Damascus that got him thinking like Proverbs 1:7. You've been a fool with the things that you know. You need to know the things of the Lord, and God taught him. Anyway, let's look at this real quickly. Any of you ever heard of the School of Tyrannus? Just that name said, boy, I don't know if I'd want to go there. Doesn't sound like happy time preschool. Acts 19:8 through 10, and then you're up here, Doug. And he went into the synagogue. By the way, this was at Ephesus. Paul spoke boldly. He went to the Jews first, because that's what he was called there. He ended up being the missionary to the Gentiles. But God said, he came for the Jew first with Christ and also the Greek. He went in for 3 months disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's what education's about. It's not for what we're doing right here necessarily, lecture stuff. It's about interactive discussions. And I can just see Paul, his name means little in the Greek. I can see him walking into a strange synagogue and, hey man, let's have a visit today about things. You could see Paul on Mars Hill. Hey, let's talk about things. And you know what happened on Mars Hill? A few of them said, hey, we'll listen to you again. That's what education is about. It's about bouncing things off. It's about seeing how this book holds up. And by the way, folks, it will hold up. It's rock solid. It's sure. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened, or people said, we've heard enough, Paul. We're against you now. By the way, there's a lot of people that are hardened about someone that tries to teach the Word of God. Junior, senior, high class this morning, what did I tell you? Throughout all time, God's people have had what painted on their back and on their front? A target. They spoke evil of that way, or the Christians, before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, or Tyrannus. And this continued, by the way, what it means to dispute there is what? It's to throw something on the table and what? Talk about it. Yeah. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Folks, that's the ultimate Sunday school right there. That's what it's all about. Sunday school is not for someone to stand and lecture. Sunday school is an interactive time of learning. Doug Chatfield, get up here. Keep it short. Doug?
Superintendent here. He's got a few things to share.
Thank you, Pastor. He shared a lot of verses and a lot of thoughts there about what the Bible teaches about Sunday school. And there's many more. We certainly can look through the Bible and find a lot of examples. I'm going to focus on the practical side, what we have here at Fruitland, instead of the overall long-range strategy. I'm not a real practical guy, as some of you that know me well know, so I learn along with everybody else as we go along. Right now, our people that come to Sunday school know our format and our system of how we do it. And Kay and I sat down last night, and we just went through some things, you know, that might be good to try and to adapt and go along and improve our outreach to all ages that come here on Sunday morning. So we have our opening exercise usually in the morning, opening songs and greetings, we can call it. And we came up with the idea maybe to try having that with the young people. If we get enough numbers in the near future here, we could have it in that big room downstairs with the piano and have a young people, a children's version of that, just a few songs to sing and to focus them on Sunday school time in their individual classes. And we could have each teacher take turns doing that, or me as a superintendent come down and fill in if need be on that. But that was an idea we tossed around. And right now we have three classes, three age groups with the young people's age. We have primary. Pastor's wife, Kim, takes that age, 4 to 7 years old, I believe it is. And we have junior class. And Autumn Harris teaches that. That's 7 years up to 12 before junior high. And then we have the junior-senior high, which Pastor teaches, and young people. And so we'd like to expand it to 4 classes eventually, you know, to have a pre-primary even, and that age group to cover that. So that's a goal we can have. We thought of ideas of what to do during class time. You know, we'll have the Bible story time curriculum relevant to each age, of course. And I've been guilty of that. Pastors shared some curriculum with me. You know, I need to dive into that. This is, some of you might know, this has been a whale of a year for us here at Fruitland. I'm mainly talking about, I've had a lot of things. I'm not one for excuses. My dad taught me that growing up, but God has taught me many things. You know, we need each other. We need to help each other along with those challenges that come along. So we thought about, you know, increased numbers also. We have a prize for the children to bring a friend along. And, you know, that could be a nice writing pen or a decorative bookmarker, candy, anything that can be a motivation to bring your friends and so that they could know, you know, that you have Jesus in your life and what's going on here, and do something on Sunday besides stay at home. And so that's what we have for the individual classes. And also, you know, we need teachers. Pastor emphasized that in his speaking this morning. And, you know, I found out myself, like I had to fill in this morning for a class, and you know, I received a blessing. I really got a blessing out of doing that. You know, even if you don't expect it, the teacher is the one that usually comes out with the most benefit rather than the students. So that's something that does definitely happen. I found almost 100% of the time in my case that occurs. Okay, now we get to the adults, the grown-up kids, right? And I think during our opening time, something to add a little flavor there, I'm going to make a list of the ones that normally attend as well as everybody that's here now in the future that comes. We'll have take turns, have you share your favorite hymn or Bible verse and what that means to you. And so I will tell you the name and you'll have a week to prepare to think about which one you want to share and what you want to do there. Okay, now our resources, we know we're low on numbers here at Fruitland, and I just have a little history lesson. Like Pastor likes to use examples like that. I'll just try to make it as brief as possible. I just got done reading about torpedo boats in World War II. It's really interesting. We all know what happened at Pearl Harbor, right? The battleships and the cruisers were sunk, put out of commission. So all we had in the Pacific over those thousands of miles of ocean and all those hundreds of islands out there, Philippines, Solomons, Marianas, Guam, on down the list, Japanese had control. So they had a destroyer fleet that was second to none. They had the best destroyers in the world. And so we had a problem with that. and we didn't have enough destroyers even after World War, after Pearl Harbor. And those torpedo boats, they had four torpedoes each on those little 80-foot boats. And they were fast, maneuverable, and they could pack a punch for their size. And eventually they got radar, which helped them at night because the Japanese loved fighting at night in the ocean. So for a destroyer, it was terror for those torpedo boats. Destroyer come out of the dark and try to run them down, which they did. That happened to John F. Kennedy in PT-109. They got sliced in half by a destroyer. So eventually they put more and more powerful guns on them, PT more powerful machine guns, everything they can get on them little things. And by the end of the war, the Japanese feared them as much as they did a capital ship. They would rather face a bigger ship than they would those little torpedo boats. But that's an example of reaching our potential. You know, they were far from supply base and PT boats, so they had to scavenge, make do, come up with really some brainstorming ideas to adapt to their situation. So, but they were ideal for them islands, you know, shallow water and close in fighting, and they came in, did a lot of rescue. They did a lot of different things that the ships couldn't do. So we need to be that here. We need to be a PT boat here at Fruitland. We need to be zigzagging, adapt, and make use of all the talents and opportunities God gives us here as we go forward. Thank you for your time this morning.
A few thoughts here. Here's the last thing today. Some options to consider to see Christian education thrive. And by the way, I prefer that term over Sunday school, Christian education. Number one, extra church activities. Things, and I mentioned these earlier, that go outside of the realm of the meeting place. Backyard Bible clubs, different things like that. In the public sector. And then also intra-church. And there's things that we can do to change up things. We've been in this mode of Sunday school on Sunday mornings for years. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but maybe for some it could be different and would be more convenient. Here's what I say that we can think about. And by the way, Doug is always open, and I am. The deacons, and we're a congregationally governed church. But, you know, we could move prayer time. This is just one thought. As a precursor to morning preaching and worship, you could move Christian education time, or what we now call Sunday school, to like a night or even a Wednesday night, or other situations where it's done with between families and so forth. You could have the whole concept with electives of spiritual interest. These are all possible. If you have an interest you'd like to go off on, that could be taught. And there's all kinds of things. You could even do what we call whole church or whole group sharing, that everyone from young kids to the adults is on the same place in Scripture. So when you leave that study, you can go home and talk about these things. It's all the same thing that's being focused on or presented. Bottom line, the sky is the limit about Christian education. We're wasting and being careless with the precious time God's given us to learn. Christian education requires hard work. Not only is the instructor and the learner, and it requires dedication. And as Doug correctly said, if you've never taught before, take the job on. God will grow you through it. I don't have time. I could tell you a story of my own life, but I won't do that this morning. So here's the conclusion. There is salvation for Sunday school. There is salvation for Sunday school. Or what I prefer in the term Christian education, but it must meet people's needs in their desire to grow in Christ through quality, quantity, and promotion. I invite you to come to Sunday school. I invite people that I meet. Praise God, we had some visitors here, first time for Sunday school this morning. I invite you. I believe I need to promote it because it is a valuable, overlooked resource in a day where many neither seek or desire education in general, and specifically in the things of Christ and the Bible. Make Christian education a priority for yourself and your family and the community of those you live around, and especially through the power of prayer. We need to pray for the Christian education that takes place here at Fruitland Baptist Church. So let's hear your thoughts and ideas for the future, because I believe it's a very valuable thing and should be not only maintained, but grown. I'm done yakking. Let's go home and eat dinner. Amen. Take your hymnals today. 735. Please, and stand if you're able. But of course, as you know, and by the way, I did not imply you all need to go home for dinner. And yes, I call it dinner, not lunch. But you know, before we go to have that time of fellowship around the table, maybe there's needs in the fellowship that we have with Jesus this morning. Maybe I'm talking to someone here who is not in a personal walk with Jesus. I want you to know this morning, this is basic education. God loves you. We're sinners. He will forgive your sins. He will come into your life. And you will be bound for eternity in heaven, but you'll be bound for some exciting things here yet on earth. By the way, he wins. He's already won the victory. If you're not on his team, you're on the wrong side of things. And secondly today, if you become stale, if you become ambivalent, meaning that you don't care one way or another, today's the day to get back on track. It's that simple. And it may involve your Christian education. The front of this church is open. You can come up and do business with God. You can do it in your seats. You can do it at home. But do it. And I'm here to help and others as well. I can't do everything. I don't know everything. I'm a learner. But I can say this, I'll be willing to walk through it with you, what you're going through today. There is help available. Let's sing about the happiness of knowing the Savior. Do you have that happiness today? Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops start. I've found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Doug, would you dismiss us today with prayer?
Lord, thank you.